doing? Kablam! We are ready. Hey guys, God bless you all. Welcome back. This is Reverend Lyle Lewis coming back at you one more time. That's right, Reverend Lyle Lewis with the Word Evangelistic Church coming back with another Pain Fighters message. Thank you guys for tuning in on the Pain Fighters podcast, wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. And thank you guys for tuning in to me on YouTube. By all means, please give me some kills and clisses. Click like and subscribe, some thumbs up. Hey, it helps the channel. Not to say like, you know, I'm trying to build the algorithm. I just know that, you know, the more click likes and subscribe, the more this gets in front of individuals that do need to hear this message. And by all means, as I always say, I'm from the Word Evangelistic Church, where my pastor is the Prophet Willie C. Townsend. That's right. The pastor is Prophet Willie C. Townsend. I'm just the minister that abides at the Word Evangelistic Church working underneath my pastor. We have Bible class, Sunday service and Friday services that all air right here on YouTube. So please, by all means, those of you who can, please, by all means, go check out the Word Evangelistic Church on YouTube or Google it and it'll come up with the Word Evangelistic Church telecast. By all means, look for the Word Evangelistic Church in your local listings, because we do have the same messages that come on YouTube also come on television. But, you know, I understand that the different channels there, you know, they're different in different areas. So I'm not sure which channels it would be in your area, but please, by all means, Google it, look it up. I'm sure it comes on somewhere in your state. And if not, you could always catch the Word Evangelistic Church right here on YouTube, or you can always tune into me right here, Lewtown Productions, with the Pain Fighters podcast live. So now that we've gotten all the formalities out of the way, as you guys can see, I am here downstairs in the fellowship. This is like the fellowship hall of my church. For those of you that are tuned into YouTube, I know you guys that are listening to on the podcast, you can't see anything. But yeah, we're here at the church hanging out, you know, just doing some stuff, you know. And I wanted to go ahead and finish up this part two message of grace and mercy, because, you know, I really do want to bring this out, because, you know, you do have it where so many people, they take it for granted. They take God's grace and mercy for granted because some of them take it for granted because they don't have the knowledge truly of what God's grace and mercy truly is. And then others take it for granted just because that's just what they're doing. They're just taking it for granted because they think that it's not important, or that it doesn't hold value, or that it's always going to be there. And that's what happens a lot of times when everybody doesn't understand. This is how it is when people look at time, when they look at their lives, they look at God's grace and mercy, they look at God's love, they think that it's just going to be there forever. But the problem is it's not. You know what I'm saying? Your life will end. And when your life ends, everything ends with it. Grace, mercy, time, love, all that stuff, it ends at death. Now, when I say it ends at death, that does not mean that it is not extended into your afterlife. It's only extended into your afterlife if you've kept God's commandments, if you've been doing what the Word of God has been telling you to do, if you've been living a lifestyle that's holy and righteous and acceptable in the eyesight of God. But see, when you take advantage of the grace and mercy, you don't do things in the right standard of what God would have for you to do. Instead, you do things your way. Instead, you go about your own mind. Instead, you go about your own righteousness. And when you do it that way, you wind up thinking in your own mind, hey, I got time. Or, you know, again, like I was saying earlier, God's grace and mercy is always going to be there. But here's the problem. Man, for whatever reason, forgets that one day he is going to die. You're not going to live forever. Like I was saying in part one of this message, tomorrow's not promised to you. You know what I'm saying? Your tomorrow is not promised. My tomorrow's not promised. It's not promised that I'm going to be able to finish this broadcast. I could drop dead in the middle of doing this, and y'all could watch me die live on YouTube. You never know. Because it's not, but so what I do is I make sure that I'm in right standard with God at all times. Now, like I was saying, God's grace and mercy is based off of his word. It is his word. Again, God said in his word, I exalt my word above all my name. You want all answers in God. And I know a lot of you are like, well, why is everything God? Why is, I mean, the word of God, why is everything, is that your answer to everything? Every time you say, oh, love, it's through and by the word. If you want to learn, it's through and by the word, because God exalted his word above all his name. If you want to learn about God, if you want to live for God, if you want to understand God, it's all through his word. You want to serve God, it's in his word. You want to get close to God, it's in his word. It teaches you how to do it. You want to understand why the world is the way that it is in? It's in the Bible. Everything you need to know about the world, your soul, your spirit, your mind, devil, God, angels, demons, spirits, whatever, it's all in the Word of God. But here's another thing. You also have to make sure that when you're reading the Word of God, when you're studying the Word of God, that you're not allowing Satan to corrupt what it is that you're learning. It's the reason why I always say, and everybody that listens to my podcast or listens to my streamline will tell you that I say this constantly. You have to get in touch with a real pastor. You got to get in contact with somebody who is truly connected to God, a real church home, a real pastor that's teaching you the word of God, which is the reason why I push my church, not because we need the popularity, not because we need the membership. Membership, that means nothing. What we want is individuals to get saved. That's what we want more than anything. We want folks to get saved, okay? We are a church that is based on getting people into the kingdom, all right? Not getting people into the building, not getting more doggone hands throwing money in the bucket. You know, that's not us. No, we are more concerned about souls. That's why we do what we do over here at this church, all right? My pastor is preaching on telecast. He's preaching on YouTube to help draw in more individuals to Christ, not him. He's exalting Christ, not himself. Why? That's a man that understands grace and mercy. He understands that with the mission that he has, just like grace and mercy, you're only given a certain amount of time. And this is one thing that a lot of people don't know, you know, that grace and mercy is a time period. It has a time period to it. When God gives you a commandment, be it get saved, stop committing sin, get stronger in God, develop more faith, whatever the case may be, your time period starts the moment the word of God goes forth and you hear it. And a lot of people always want to go by, oh, well, I didn't understand it, or I didn't know, or blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. They want to make 155 excuses, but at the end of the day, you got to understand. The same way everybody always wants to say this. They say this at all times. Oh, the Lord knows my heart. That's the reason why he's preaching the word of God, because he knows your heart. The Lord understands my condition. That's the reason why he's preaching the word of God, because he understands your condition. All these excuses that you try to use to make it to where you think that you're good with God is the reason why he's preaching the word of God to you. Because he knows your heart. He understands your circumstances. He understands your situation. He knows things aren't easy. He knows times are tough. He knows. Trust me, he knows. Okay? You don't have to doubt that. What you do have to do is make sure you're in right standing with God. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word of God. Our theme scripture for this message of Grace and Mercy Part 2 is taken from the book of Romans. That's the 9th chapter, the 15th verse, and it reads, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Now, when God was telling Moses this, he was talking about the children of Israel, you know, he was referring to them because he was trying to get them to understand that. I mean, God was trying to get Moses to understand that, you know, he does have grace and mercy, but the grace and mercy falls on whom he wants it to fall on. Now, we look at us in today's time. Look at us in today's time. Don't get me wrong. That was, you know, the Moses and all that. That was Old Testament. Let's look at us today in the New Testament. Okay. God's grace and mercy went from the Old Testament only going to a certain people to now being spread to the whole world. It's spread to everybody. I don't care what age, gender, doggone race. It does none of that matter. None of that matter. That all that stuff matters to man. Okay. What God looks at is your soul. What God looks at is your heart. What God looks at is the intent of what you have going on according to what he has told you to do. See, everybody has knowledge of God. And this is the reason why a lot of people want to, they will try to go to God and say, well, Lord, I didn't know. But like God said, everybody has knowledge of God, because, you know, man didn't put the sun and the moon in the sky. You know, man didn't put air in your lungs. Because if man put the sun and the moon and the sky and air in your lungs and this and that, you know, man would find a way to monetize it. He'd find a way to charge you for it. He'd find a way to tax you for it. Okay? So it's not man that's doing this. This is God. So again, everybody has knowledge of God. So if you have knowledge of God, you have a understanding that you have a higher purpose than just to live for yourself. Okay? Now, when you're dealing with God, when you're doing things in God, you have to understand that you have to do things God's way. Why? It's the same way when people come to your house. It's the same way when you go to work. It's the same way in anything that you do, when you go to court or whatever. Wherever you go, there are rules to follow. There are regulations to follow. There are standards to follow. So if I come to your house, there are certain rules and protocols that you have set up. Take your shoes off at the door. No kicking your feet up on the coffee table. Don't put your feet on the sofa. You know what I'm saying? You can't just go roaming around the house. You have certain rules. And it's the same way with God. God looks at it like this. Hey, look, I have certain rules and requirements. I'm not going to force you to do them, but I have certain rules and requirements for you to live right if you want to make it back to me, if you want to make it to heaven. See, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to put in the work. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to do what God tells them to do. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but everybody wants to step over the word of God and salvation and step over obedience and things like that. They just want to believe and just say, that's good enough. No, 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 no. Bible says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Well, what is God's voice? God's voice is correction. See, grace and mercy comes with correction. Grace and mercy comes with understanding. Grace and mercy comes with knowledge of what to do and what not to do in God. Grace and mercy comes with conditions. The same way the bank makes you gives you conditions. The same way the your credit card gives you certain conditions and standards. Hey, you have to meet these certain criteria in order to get the credit card. Then after you get the credit card, you have to meet these certain criteria to keep your credit line good and established with us. It's the same way with God. When you get in God, there are certain criteria that you have to come up to. First and foremost, a certain criteria you have to come up to get saved. You have to believe. Okay, understand this. Unbelief is the number, like how man says, oh, cancer is the number one killer, blah, blah, blah. Unbelief is the number one killer of all things. Because you got more people in unbelief than you got them in cancer. You got more people in unbelief. And mind you, there's many different forms of unbelief, and I'll get into that on another day. But there's many different forms of unbelief, which is the reason why people either A, take grace and mercy, God's grace and mercy for granted, or B, just could care less about God's grace and mercy because of the unbelief that rests within them. Because of this, so the disobedience that is within them. Because of the way that their mind says, or Satan deceives them to get them to feel or think a certain way. So you got to understand, individuals who get saved, all right, you have grace and mercy. Grace and mercy has fallen upon you. Individuals who have heard the word of God come to you. See, those of you that are listening to me right now, this is grace and mercy coming to you now, okay? It's coming to you. How is it coming to you? It's coming to you through me giving you knowledge and understanding that God is trying to reach you. It's also coming through now with you having that knowledge, putting it the decision in your hands to say, what are you going to do? But you also got to understand, just like all good things, hey, man, they're not going to just sit there and wait for you forever. Okay? God is not going to sit up here and have it be where you go out and do everything you want to do and blah, blah, blah. Mind you, he's not going to push you. He's not going to force you. He's not going to try to manipulate you. He leaves it in your hands. But again, the day that you're going to die is coming, and it may come sooner than what you think. So instead of taking that for granted, you need to understand that this opportunity is being presented to you now. You need to take action. See, people look at it that, you know, they look at, I have a family to take care of, and they get life insurance, health insurance, renter's insurance, homeowner's insurance, car insurance, boat insurance, motorcycle. They get some type of insurance because they look towards the future. Why not do the same for yourself? See, God's grace and mercy is just like it's the greatest form of insurance you could ever have. Why do I say that? Because you got to understand, God can do things that man can't. God's policy can do things that your insurance policy cannot do. And for those of you that are very carnal minded right now, that includes putting money in your pocket. So God can do a whole lot more for you, but it's about you. You have to serve God. And this is where people, they skip over. In order for your grace and mercy to be fully effective, mind you, it's already running. It's like the moment you were born, the clock started ticking. The moment you sucked air into your lungs and the doctor pulled you out and smacked you in the behind and said, there's a boy or girl that's been born into the world, the moment that happened, clock started ticking. Probably way before then. The moment God put breath in the womb for you to live, clock started ticking. Either way, clock's ticking and it's ticking down. We don't have time to worry about other people. And when I say don't have time to worry about other people, meaning what they think, how they feel, you need to get your soul right. You need to get your life right in the eyesight of God. You need to get saved. You need to get yourself in a holy position where you're living holy. That's why I say holy position, a position where you're living holy. Living according to the word of God, doing what God would have for you to do. Okay? Can we ask for grace and mercy? Sure we can. Absolutely, you can ask for grace and mercy. But now after you've asked for it, what are you going to do with it? So you get to where a lot of people, they do stuff and they go to God, Lord, please have mercy on me. Lord, please have, Lord, let your grace fall upon me. Okay, what are you going to do with this grace and mercy? Are you just going to have it and just say, okay, I got it. And like the Bible says, with the man in the mirror, just wipe your face and forget what kind of man or a man you are and just go on about your day. Or are you going to take action on the grace and mercy that's been given to you? See, you cannot just sit on grace and mercy. You have to take action in it. You have to do something with this grace and mercy. Sure, you can ask for it. Just like you can ask for forgiveness. Just like you can ask for God to increase your faith or whatever the case may be. You can ask for it. But in the process of you asking for it, the question now lies in you asking for it, are you going to operate in it? Are you going to operate in what you asked for? Lord, please, Lord, have mercy on me. Please, Lord, let your grace fall upon me. Okay. Are you going to stop committing sin? Are you going to get out of the sin that you're asking grace and mercy for? Are you going to drop those waves? Are you going to drop that evil frame of mind? Are you going to leave those things alone that you're asking God to give you grace and mercy over? Are you going to fight against those things? Are you going to strive more to live for God now? With a whole heart? With a pure heart? Or are you just going to say, well, I got God's grace and mercy? Are you going to listen to Satan and let him deceive you and tell you, oh, yeah, well, you know, the Lord is gracious and merciful. You asked for it. You're covered under the blood. Just go ahead and just, you know, finish living with your life. Do what you're going to do. It is what it is. God will forgive you again. See, you got to understand, this is the reason why I say a lot of things come through the word of God. God's grace and mercy comes through the word of God, because here's what happens. You ask for grace and mercy. God comes back to you through and by the word of God, instructing you on how to fight your flesh, how to fight your mind, how to fight whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is you're asking for grace and mercy for, how to overcome it. And in the process of God giving you those instructions, he's going to stand back and he's going to see, what are you going to do? Do you really want the grace and mercy? Are you going to do what I told you to do? Or are you going to go and like a pig and go back and wallow in the mud? Are you going to rebuild those things that you once destroyed? Bible teaches us not to do those things. But see, unfortunately, we listen more to our flesh than we do the word of God. We listen more to our mind and our desires than we do the word of God. And then after we've listened to our mind, our desires, our flesh, and all this other stuff over the word of God, and now we feel hurt, now we feel sorrowful, now we want to turn to God and say, Lord, have mercy, have grace, this, that, this, and the other. That's the reason why I say a lot of people are playing on God's grace and mercy. You can't play on it, because again, you don't know to what extent God has stretched it. And in the process of you not having that knowledge, that could be your downfall. Because in the process of you not having the knowledge of what, how much grace and mercy, how much time you actually have to get yourself right back in God, or whatever the case may be that you're asking grace and mercy for, you die, or God winds up pronouncing judgment. You understand, death is not necessarily always the end of God's grace and mercy. Sometimes, like I was saying in message number one, it's some kind of judgment. It's some kind of punishment. It's some. Death is not always the, you know, that's, no. No. There's hardship. There's sickness. There's disease. There's troubles. You know what I'm saying? God may not kill you. He may kill a loved one. You never know how God will come at you. So I suggest, like the Bible said, don't fall into the hands of an angry God, okay? So when we're asking for grace and mercy, we should be asking for strength against sin as well. And that strength will come through and by instruction, all right? God's not just going to come down and say, you want strength, and just like zap you with it. No, he's going to give you instruction. It's the same way for an individual that wants to get in shape. When I was in high school and I wanted to get in shape, I said, man, I want muscles. I want a six pack. I want this. It, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't just go to the store and like buy some ointment and put it on me and now I got all that stuff. No, I had to go and put in the work to develop the muscle, the endurance, the stamina, and all that kind of stuff. It's the same way in God. You want the strength. Okay, I had to learn how to do bodybuilding and all these other kind of stuff when I wanted to get in shape. It's the same way in God. You want God's grace and mercy. You want God's forgiveness. Okay, God gives it to you. But again, it comes with instructions of how to abide in it. What do I mean, how to abide in it? How to live in it. How to obey it. How to allow yourself to be set up to this structure of what God would have for you. See, you messed up because you went with your structure or Satan's structure. God's going to give you his structure through instructions, through them by the word of God. You have to follow the word of God and take that and then follow his instructions. You got to do what he tells you to do. If he says don't do it, you got to fight yourself. If he says that you got to focus more on him, you got to focus more on him. If he says study, pray more, occupy yourself, you got to do these things. And you can't look at things as, oh, this is small or this and that, that and this. No, everything matters in the eyesight of God. There is no small things in the eyesight of God. You don't believe me? Ask Moses. When God told him to speak to the rock, he said, speak to the rock and give the children of Israel water. He spoke to it, got mad because the children of Israel complaining and it wasn't coming out fast enough. And he smote the rock with a staff. That small thing, that tiny, tiny, tiny looking thing. We look at it, wow, that's, when we read the Bible, I know when I read it, when I first read that, I didn't think nothing of it. I'm like, man, Moses was mad. That's all I thought. Wow, Moses was mad, only to come to find out that displeased God and kept him out of the kingdom. Something small. So if God is telling you to do things, you take all things, big and small, and you run with what God tells you to do. Because it all counts. There is no, well, you know, that's how you deal with man. Man, you can say, I'll do 99 and a half, and then, you know, that'll be okay. Man has a grading system that says, well, if you've done this much, it's good enough. Not God. God says, do it all. This is the reason why he said, eat the whole roll. If he wants you to eat the whole roll, then he wants you to operate in a way where you've eaten the whole roll. You get what I'm saying? God's not going to tell you, eat half of the roll. No, he said eat the whole roll because he expects you to be fully fed so that you can fully operate in what he tells you to do. You can't do your job to the fullest at work if you don't have a full set of instructions. If you don't know how to do your tasks at work, you can't do them properly. God makes sure to cover that in his word. So you have a lot of people with lack of knowledge, and God understands this. They have a lack of knowledge of their flesh. They have a lack of knowledge of Satan. They have a lack of knowledge of temptation. They have a lack of knowledge of how their mind manipulates them. They have a lot of lack of knowledge in many different areas. So God comes down with the word of God to help individuals come into the knowledge to understand what's going on. So that then this way, You're not asking for grace and mercy in vain. You're not asking for forgiveness in vain. Because if you don't do what God would have for you to do, everything that you ask for is in vain. Why do I say that it's in vain? Okay, let me ask you a question. We were all kids. How many times did your parents tell you to do something? You said you would do it. And then for whatever reason, you forgot, or time got away from you, or whatever excuse that you had to where you didn't do what they told you to do. Now, even though you might have had honest intention to do it, you didn't do it. Did your parents come by and say, well, you had an honest intention to do it, so that's good enough? No, it's not done. If you started doing it and didn't finish it, your parents were like, oh, well, you know, at least it's halfway done. Okay, yeah, I told you to clean up. Okay, well, half of the house is clean. I'll accept that. That's good. No, they got upset with you and they said, why didn't you clean the house? Why are you doing this half job? I told you to clean the whole house, not half of it. When you went to school and you came home with D's and C's and F's, they were like, okay, you've got D's, C's, and F's and one or two B's. You're halfway paying attention to school. What's going on? No, they don't want you to halfway pay attention to school. They want you there. They want your mind and everything present in school. Because if you're focused on your schoolwork, you get the good grades. You focus on doing what they tell you to do, you'll complete the task. It's the same way in God. You focus on what God tells you to do, and you have a whole complete heart and a made up mind to do what God tells you to do, you'll move in that direction. You'll do what God tells you to do. But see, again, it all comes back to you following instructions. All right. Now, God is going to step back and see what you're going to do when you're asking for grace and mercy. Because again, God's not going to force you to do anything. He wants to see what you're going to do. He wants to see how you're going to operate. God wants to see, okay, again, like I said, God puts the ball in your court and he says, okay, you shoot it. You throw the ball away. You keep the ball. You shoot it in the basket. You pass it to a teammate. It's up to you. What are you going to do? Many of us, we get the ball away. All right. And we just drop it. And we just walk away. We literally just drop the ball. We put it down. Or we pass the ball to somebody else because we're trying to blame them. Oh, I don't want this. Here, you take it. That's your fault that this is. No. God puts the ball in your court. What are you going to do with it? He tells you what to do with it. Hey, look, and I'm talking sports references, of course. He gives you the ball and says, hey, I want you to put it in the basket. I want you to kick it into the net. I want you to kick it through the field goal post. I want you to score the points. Here's the ball. Here's what I want you to do. You do this way, you do it that way, you do it this way, and then you'll be successful. But see, it's up to you. Are you going to listen? All right? The fight that you have determines if you truly mean what you mean to do. All right? It's your fight and your determination to serve God, to stay in God, that's going to show God who you are. God doesn't want to hear. So when you're asking for God's grace and mercy, see, he's checking out your heart. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at the intent of your mind. He's looking, do you really mean to do what God, do you really mean to please him? Or are you just asking because it's the formality? If you're asking just because it's the formality, then, you know, my pastor was saying recently, he was saying how a lot of people, they go in prayer, right? He was saying they go into prayer, and when they go into prayer, they feel good. They feel good. And then he said, how can you feel good when you haven't completed the task? Your prayer is not done. See, you ask God for forgiveness, grace, mercy, or whatever the case may be. Okay, you're not done until you've completed the task. If you repented from sin, you're not done with that prayer until you've actually put the works forth. So see, when you go asking for grace and mercy, okay, you're not done with that prayer. Even though you said in Jesus' name, amen, you're not done with that prayer until you get up, go forth, and put forth the effort. When I say put forth the effort, I'm not talking about putting forth this old crappy halfway effort. No, like I said earlier, you got to do a wholehearted job. You got to pull a whole full effort forward. You got to go forth. You got to leave whatever it is you're struggling with, leave it alone. Whatever it is God told you not to do, don't do it. Whatever he told you to do, go do it. And you got to do it wholeheartedly the way that God told you to do it. Then after he sees that you did it, you overcame it, you got delivered from it, now he sees you're serious. Now your prayer is complete. Now your forgiveness is there. Because God sees now, he sees through your works. God is a man of works. God wants to see our works. This is the reason why your salvation has to be lived. A lot of people just get saved and they're like, I'm saved. And then that's the reason why they stop going to church, because they believe once saved, always saved, because they're just told all they have to do is believe. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. You got to do more. The Bible tells us we got our salvation has to be greater than that of what the Pharisees had. We have our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. So if the devil believe and the Pharisees have decent works in God, and the Bible telling us we have to exceed that. I don't want to have my doggone salvation be on par with Satan. No, I don't want my salvation equal to Satan. Remember, Satan don't have salvation. So what is that telling you? Bible says the devil believes and trembles. If all I say is, yeah, I believe, okay, I'm even with Satan. That's bad. The Pharisees did the formalities. Okay, that's bad. Why? Christ didn't accept them. They had the formalities. Oh, clean the pots and wash the dishes and wash your hands and the sacred days and the rituals. And Christ is like, screw all that. Where's the heart? What's in your heart? Where's the works? Christ brought out the inner man. While they were so busy talking about the outer man, Christ said, yeah, that's the reason why your outer man looks beautiful, but your inner man looks disgusting. So you got to take that into consideration when we go asking God for grace and mercy. When we go just, you, again, like I said, it's not just a matter of time. It's not just the time that we got to look at. And I use this word not in the sense of putting on the show. I just use this word as a sense of to help us to understand what we're doing, our performance in God, our performance. And I don't mean this again. I don't mean this in putting on some show. I don't mean this in just putting on some spectacle or some facade. No, I mean this in a sense of like our actions, comings and goings, our doings, our obedience, all these things. God's looking at all those things. And in the process of him looking at all of those things, he expects them to be up to his standard, his level, that he stipulated in his word. Okay? The fight that you have shows your determination to serve God or to stay alive in God. Because the more you sin, the more you spiritually die. So see, we keep asking God for grace and mercy, grace and mercy, grace and mercy. You got to understand, the more you're committing sin and then you turn around and ask God, you're more or less hurting yourself, because now what you're doing is you're more and more telling God, you understand that you're doing wrong. You understand that this is not what God would have you to do. God understands weaknesses and this and that and this. But mind you, again, God gave you power over all the powers of the enemy. That includes whatever power that you believe he has over your flesh. God gave you power over your flesh. And he gave you the word of God to back up that power. He gave you the word of God to help bring you into the knowledge of the power. You gain the power through and by knowledge of the word of God. That's the reason why the Bible says faith comes by hearing. That's your power, your strength. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now it's like a sandwich. The word of God, your faith, your ability that God gives you to overcome the devil, and then the word of God on the back end. And in the process of them coming together, see, God made this salvation sandwich. I guess we'll call it. God made this salvation sandwich, and you're just eating the meat. No, you got to eat the whole. Back to eating the whole roll again. You got to eat the whole thing. Smash it together and take it in. A lot of this stuff, it looks like, well, it sounds kind of silly. Understand the references that I'm using to bring out the spiritual meaning of how important it is that you operate in the fullness of whatever it is you're asked for. You want more faith? Operate in the fullness of faith after you pray for it. See, God's not just going to give it to you. See, God's going to give you instructions on how to get it or how to operate in it. And then once he does that, he expects you to even if, don't get me wrong, even if you got to start off small, that's fine. At least get started. At least get started. Mind you, just getting started isn't good enough because you still got to finish it. But getting started is a very good way to show God you're serious. You never know how God will help you if you just get started. You never know how God will stand with you if you just get started. You never know how far God's grace and mercy will go if you get started in fighting yourself. If you get started in putting away things that's not of God. All right? Now, when some of us get entangled in sin, we get less active in God. And in the process of us getting less active in God, again, like I said, we're dying more and more and more. So it's like the word of God is being choked out of us. And in the process of the word of God being choked out of us, it makes it to where we become more sluggish. You ever seen like zombie movies and stuff like that, right? And you see the zombies that they can't move. The more they die, the harder it is for them to move. It's the same way with the natural body. The more you die, and the longer that you're dead, the more they call, rigor mortis. Your body just starts to stiffen up more and more and more and more and more. It's the same way spiritually. The more you die spiritually, the more spiritual rigor mortis sets in you. And it makes it to where it's hard for you to do things. You get it where individuals, it's the reason why a lot of people whom they backslide from God, and it's so hard for them to come back. It's so hard for them to get themselves back right. It's so hard for them to get their spirit back. Why? Because now you've got all this spiritual stiffness and rigor mortis to set into you. You got to try to work that out. You got to try to work that stiffness out. God ain't going to take it from you because he didn't put you in it. So you also got to understand, don't get me wrong, God is a graceful and merciful God. He'll give you space to repent. But if you put yourself in something, while he's giving you grace and mercy to repent, he's still going to tell you, okay, here's the instructions. You got to get yourself out of this one. I didn't put you in there. I taught you how not to go into it. This is the reason why a lot of people are bound today, because they put themselves in things. And now they're sitting around waiting for God to get them out. No, 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 no. Basically, here's what happens. You fell into a ditch that God told you not to walk into. You fell into a ditch. Now you're like, Lord, help me. And here's what he does. Here's a shovel. He's not going to dig you out. He's like, here's a shovel. He tosses you a shovel. Figure it out. I'll be here waiting. What do you mean I'll be here waiting? In other words, okay, get yourself out. When you're here, when you get out, let's go. We got business to tend to. But don't take too long in trying to dig yourself out. Why do you think it's so hard for people to do that? Why do you think it's so hard for people to dig themselves out of bad situations? It's because it's killed them so much to the point where it makes it hard for them to do what they have to do. All right? Now, once you get to a certain point, all right? Once your body gets so stiff, it becomes useless. Right? Your body becomes like it's anything. Your body becomes so stiff to the point where it doesn't move anymore, or it becomes so weak to the point where you can't support your own body weight or things like that, to the point where now more or less whatever's going on is just able to take you over now completely. It's the same way spiritually. When we go playing on grace and mercy, we go playing on, oh, the Lord, I'll be okay. I can, the Lord understands. Yeah, Satan is slowly sifting you, slowly sifting you to the point where you get so far gone. Satan done pulled you so much that by the time you look up, Satan's able to grab you and snatch you to him. Now it's too late. Now you're out the church. Now you don't want to have nothing to do with it. You're not listening to the word of God. You don't have nothing to do with the word of God. Now, if you do want to have something to do with the word of God, it seems impossible for you to be renewed back in, just like the word said. Why? Because now you're so far gone. You're so far separated from God. And it all started from what? You taking God's grace and mercy for granted. See, a man that don't take stuff for granted, when God gives him grace and mercy, when God gave me grace and mercy, when I got saved, I didn't take that for granted. I didn't jump in and out of God. I wasn't in, okay, well, you know, I'm saved, but I'm young. I got saved at 19 years old. When I got saved, I wasn't like, oh, I'm so young. I still got my whole life ahead of me. I was like, screw that. I got stuff to do in God. Hey, I got a life to live in God. Hey, all that stuff I counted as dumb. Lord, what would you have for me to do? What is your word telling me to do? Okay, I got to get that right. Because I understood that while God has given me the grace and mercy, I understood, hey, I don't know when this grace and mercy is going to run out and when I have to give it an account of this. I got to bring that grace and mercy back to God and say, Lord, here's what I did with the grace and mercy that you've given me. Here's what I did with the time that you've given me. Here's what I did with all the talents and the gifts and the abilities that you've given me. Here's what I did with my life that you gave me. This is what I did with it. I understood that. So I didn't take the grace and mercy for granted. No. I ran with it. Sure, I got rebuked. Sure, I got corrected. But I never left God. I never backslid from God because I understood that the moment I backslid, that could have been my final moment. There's no guarantee that in me backsliding, leaving God, that I'll be able to make it back. And that's what happens with a lot of people. They think, if I leave, I'll be okay. I'll come back. You got people today. I know people today who left God and they're still talking about, oh yeah, no, you know, I got a plan to defeat Satan. You know, I'll be back in God. And here it is, years and years, they're saying the same thing. Never mean, if anything, they're not getting close to God. They're getting further and further away from God while they're saying, I have a plan to defeat Satan. The devil is a liar. No. Looks like the devil is a truth person now. Because I don't see you making any effort to come back. I don't see you able to come back. Why? Because you allowed yourself to get so far gone to the point where Satan was able to keep you in a position where you can't do anything. It's just like when if you're fighting somebody and they overpower you. You may be able to, you know, you're fighting back, you're throwing punches, you're swinging your arms, you're kicking, you're doing all this stuff. But the moment they grab you and slam you and they're like holding you down, laying on top of you, holding you down. Now you're not throwing punches. You're lucky if you can move back and you're lucky if you can squirm. Why? They overpowered you. Why? They drug you down to where now they are in control. And it's the same way that Satan does it. He drags you down to where now he is in control. He controls you. He overpowers you for a reason. This is the reason why the Bible said when Satan comes in to a house and binds the strong man, he spoils his goods. Why? The strong man's been overtaken. So now he can't do anything. Be it he got knocked out or he's been immobilized or whatever the case may be. He can't fight back now. But if he was watching, is that the wise man, the strong man? Say, the strong man, if one enters into the strong man's house and overtake him, hey, look, man, if you get the drop on anybody, I don't care how strong they are, how good they are, you get the drop on them, you got them. This is the reason why Jesus Christ also said, watch. What I say unto some, I say unto all, watch that ye enter not into temptation. Watch as well as pray. God, Jesus Christ was saying, watch. The prophet told the people in the book of Israel, watch. They were telling them. Why were they telling them to watch? so that they don't allow themselves to fall into the traps that the devil has for them. And then they're turning around asking God for grace and mercy. They're turning around trying to, oh Lord, please forgive us. Please have grace and mercy. You wouldn't need grace and mercy to the extent, mind you, we're all under God's grace and mercy, but you wouldn't need it to the extent of trying to recover yourself. See, you've got levels of grace and mercy. You've got the standard grace and mercy that God gave you when you got saved. Then you've got grace and mercy that you need to recover from sin. Then you've got grace and mercy that you need for, like, you know, like when you pray. Okay, so when you pray, God, okay, let's see what. Okay, I'm going to give them space to see what they're going to do. God sends the word of God. He gives you grace and mercy. Okay, I gave them the word. Let's see if they're going to be obedient to it. You got to give an account of every degree of it. Okay, you walk up to God with your salvation, grace and mercy. Okay, Lord, I took advantage of this. I was obedient to this. Okay, Lord, you told me, you gave me grace and mercy when you told me I should be doing this, 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 and the other. Okay, I'm obedient to this. Okay, now, what about the things that I told you not to do? What about the things that you were weak in? What about the things that for whatever reason you allowed Satan to overcome? Where's that at? God's going to ask you to bring that into account. God's grace and mercy is looking at it like, okay, you should have, in the amount of time I gave you, you should have overcome it. You should have beat the sin. You should have beat the hardship. You should have beat that was holding you back from me, that was keeping you from living holy. Give me account of that grace and mercy. And then you come up like, well, I don't have that. Will God accept your salvation? If you listen to what my pastor's been saying for the past couple of months, especially for the past couple of months, he's really been teaching about how God's judgment is going to be. See, if you want to understand how the word of God, how God is going to have his judgment, you really want to understand this message about grace and mercy to the fullest, go check out Word Evangelistic Church on YouTube or look us up on your local listings on television. Because I guarantee you, everything that I'm telling you in this message from part one to part two, he is preaching every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Telling the people in many different ways, in many different messages. And I don't mean many different ways like he's preaching different kinds of ways. No, I mean like the messages are different, but they are all the same in the sense that they're all geared towards you getting saved, living sin-free, and living for God. For those of you that can listen, by all means, go listen to it. Hey, look, this is January and March is May. All right, yeah, it's May. I'm looking at my calendar now. It's May. Go look at everything. Hell, I'd say, hell, start the year fresh. Start listening to messages from January. And you'll hear how a lot of these messages are talking about how, you know, God's not just going to accept you any kind of way. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. God's grace and mercy is extended to you, yes. But make sure that in the process of God's grace and mercy being extended to you, that it's not in vain. It's not just being taken for granted. Okay? We got to fight and we got to show God that we're serious about our salvation. We got to fight and we got to show God that we're serious about our salvation. We got to fight and show God we're serious about the Word of God and the instructions of the Word of God. God knows the flesh. He knows the weaknesses of man. He knows sin. He knows all these different things. This is the reason why he's teaching us against these things. This is the reason why individuals like me and my pastor are out here trying to help individuals come into the knowledge of these things, because these are a lot of things that some people just really don't know. And some people, they read about it, but they don't have the full understanding and knowledge of it. I teach based off of my life experience. I teach based off what I've been taught. And I do like the Bible said, I take what I've been taught and commit it unto faithful men. That's what my pastor does. He takes what he's been taught. He commits it unto me. He commits it unto you. That's why I ask you guys, please, please. If you never turn on my podcast ever again in life, if you never turn on another episode of Pain Fighters Live on YouTube, go to Word Evangelistic Church. go to the YouTube channel. Hell, come on out. Come on out. Come on out. And sit with us. And listen to the Prophet live if you can, of course. If you're in the Chicagoland area, come on out. And hear the word of God. It's not about, we care less about your color. We don't care. We want you saved. We don't care about your pocketbook. We want you saved. We don't care about your dress code, but that's not to say come nasty. You know, just come as you are. If you're not decent, we'll put a robe on you and still give you the word of God. Again, like I said earlier in the message, you got to at least take a step in the right direction. You got to get started at the very least. I'm going to end this message with that. With that being said, you guys take care. Thank you guys for tuning into the podcast. Thank you guys for tuning into the YouTube channel. And please, by all means, tune to the Word Evangelistic Church, where the pastor is Prophet Willie C. Townsend. And by all means, you guys be safe. Stay safe. God bless.